Today's Mishnah is Kelim Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Aleph. So the first part of our Masechet, remember, after the introductory Perek, was talking about the special dinim of Kli Cheres, a Tanur, and a Kirayim. And then we started in the second part of the Masechet discussing the Kli Matechet. Then in the middle of that second part, we started discussing other kelim, clay aids and clay ore, and also kelim made of atzamot and so on. And we never really explained precisely what the definition of breakage is in these kelim. We did talk about breakage in the earlier cases. What would be the din of breakage on wooden or leather kelim or bone kelim? So the shiur is similar to something that we discussed earlier, and that is called kelei ba'alei batim, if this is owned by a private party and it's just a question of his reluctance to throw out something that he has in his house. So then even if it was made lechatchila to hold smaller items, let's say it's a candy dish, he will not throw it out until it becomes unsuitable for even putting in pomegranate. So therefore, the shiurin is rimonim. We're going to talk later about what type of rimonim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no. Whatever it was initially made for, if it was made for candy, so then b'mashahein, mashahein doesn't mean over here mashahu. Mashahein means what they were made for. So if it was made as a candy dish, you can't use it as a candy dish. The fact that you might be able to set it aside for something else is not going to allow it to retain its dinim of Kabbalah Stuba, unless you actually did, obviously. So if you are miyachid something b'machshava, then fine, you can be re-miyachided as a dish. But unless you do that, it loses its tuma. Okay. So now, this is all very nice that we use the idea of motzi rimon, right? But, I mean, there are things that a motzi rimon is not going to be metayer, and that would be something that was made originally to hold it, things that are much larger than rimonim in the first place. So if I have a watermelon container, the fact that it's motzi rimon is not going to bother me in the least. There is no watermelons going to fall out of it. And therefore, we talk about some of those kind of things. So let's say you have these giant basket that are used by the gananim, a guy who works in the garden. So over there, I mean, he puts in these big bundles of veggies that he puts in them. So then that would be the shear. The shear would be for a whole bag of carrots to fall out of. If a bag of carrots won't fall out of it, why should he stop using it? So over there, Shiran Bagudocho Yerek. By the way, even though this sounds like it's going according to Bima Shehein, you should know that the Rambam and other Rishonim learned that this is true according even Alibet Tanakama. So if it's made for something larger, as opposed to the case where it's made for something smaller, which was what Reb Eliezer was talking about, this is true of Alibet Tanakama as well. Let's say that you have this big basket for a balabayit in his home. It's used generally for him. It's used to keep straw. And if one of a bundle of straws, it's got a hole big enough to let that through, obviously it will be tahar. How about if you're a balan in a public bath? So over there, the shiur would be givava. Givava used to come, this would be the stubble that they would use for fuel. So over there, it wasn't just stubble, unfortunately, because they would mix it with other flammable materials, most commonly with animal dung, because that's where they would have the animals in the stubble together, and that made a very nice fuel. So only if a bunch of that would fall through is it tahar. As Rabbi Yoshua says, it's not true. There is a shear of rimon, and this is true about everything, unless you are miyachedet specifically in something other way. So we had a list of things over here that are meant, according to the Tanakhama, for things larger than a rimon, but there are other things like that that have very specific usage, and their specific usage is enough for that to be the definitive shear. So there normally, remember, when we're talking about the machlokas, about whether something needs to be used for the specific purpose for which it's designed, how specific is specific? We're going to have some very interesting cases over here of specific usages that are meant to be very specific. So, for instance, we have two types of rolls of threads, right? We have rolls of thread that are used for the Oreif and rolls of thread that are used for the Sheti. Okay, so normally the Oreif is thicker because the Oreif is thrown with the shuttle. Because of that, it has to be tough. It goes through a lot of pulling, and we pull it, and then we throw it back the other way, and we pull it. So the Oreif was the thick thread. The Sheti was a thinner thread, which means that a spool of thread obviously is different size if it's for Sheti or if it's for Oreif. Now, they would make a type of leather container that would hold balls of thread. So a chemet was normally used specifically for the Sheti, and because of that, even if it's big enough that I could use it now for Oreif, it doesn't matter. Once it's got a hole that allows the smaller spools to fall through, it can still hold the larger ones. So even though it's not usable for the specific use, the specific use is not all that specific that it's going to make the difference between Sheti and Oreif. And because of that, it would still be considered to be Tomei. Why? Because it's used for spools of thread. You don't have to go ad kedei kach spools of X type of thread as opposed to Y type of thread. There's another case we'd have something like that. For instance, you've got this plate holder, right? And it no longer, a little box with a little foam around the side that holds your plates in a way that they don't get damaged. Suppose it gets a hole that would allow a plate to fall through. Well, you don't want to put your plate in there, obviously, but you could still put a serving platter in it, right? So over there, if it's a beta karot that no longer can hold karot, but it can hold. It'll only be able to hold large things and not small things. That's close enough. The difference between a kara and a serving kara, which is called a tamchui, is not specific enough to make the difference. How about if you got, let's say, a chamber pot, a beit hara'i? Now, obviously, there's liquid waste and solid waste. So suppose it's got a hole in it and it's going to leak urine. So now it can only hold solid waste. It's still going to be tame because it's still usable as a chamber pot. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, not true. People do not use things that do not work properly. I am not going to use my thing for a serving platter. I am not going to use a chamber pot that leaks urine. That's ridiculous. People don't want that thing around, and therefore they get rid of it. So again, unless you make it specifically for that purpose, useless. Mishnah Gimel. How about if you've got a bread basket? Now, a bread basket is specifically made that it's got holes in it, right? So that the air is able to circulate, and it just got a place to put the bread in. And now the fact that there's a hole in it should not bother us very much because it's a holy thing anyway. So in a chinami, that would be measured al libet kuliyama. If it's got a hole that is so big that a normal loaf of bread is going to fall right out of it, it's not very much of a bread basket now, is it? How about if you've got apivyarot sha'asala kanim milamata lamala lechizuk? So suppose you've got a basket, right? And this basket got broken. It got broken, which very often happens in a way that pulls the bottom out from its connection to the sides. That's a very common way for baskets to get torn. So what did you do in this case? You took a reed, which is bendable. You stick it through the side of the basket, bend it around the bottom, pull it out around the side of the other basket. You put in a couple of reeds like that, and that holds the bottom of the basket in place. It doesn't matter. It's still tahar. Because the moment you put in anything that's heavy into that basket, the reeds are just going to slip out. Obviously, there's something really holding them. So you're certainly not going to ride your bicycle tire like that. But if you made some kind of gapayim, so you figured out a way to tie them around. Maybe you stuck them through the top or whatever. You put a piece of wire around them. Anything at all that is going to keep it from falling straight out the moment you put in something heavy, then enochinami. Then it's tummy because it keeps it tough enough that it can be used up as a basket. Rabbi Shimon Omer, don't tell me that any type of gapayim are enough. It's not true. Because, look, there's a very simple test to see if it's strong enough. And that is, if by lifting it up by the very thing that's holding it together, then the thing is going to fall apart, then obviously that thing is not strong enough to really keep the bottom in place. So that's the thing. If you couldn't pick up this whole basket with the little paper clip or whatever it is that you're holding the reed with to make sure that it doesn't fall out of place, so then you're fooling yourself. It's not really going to hold together, and therefore it's tahor, which gives us a fine beginning to the 17th perek, Baruch Hashem. Okay, gentlemen, we finish. I would like to restrict the Kaddishim specifically to Yahrzeit and not to have an everyday Kaddish, because it's really, you know, we're making this for that purpose. It's really putting together Shitas, that is tremendous cool, that we should not make it a standard thing. And again, what is it based on? It's based on both Rav Meisha says, Halacha L'maaseh, the Chazon Ish, he says, don't tell people they're doing the wrong thing, who says that reconstruction, electronically reconstructed sounds, are considered to be, or images, are considered to be the equivalent of the original sound. The Chazon Ish says, who says not? Maybe he doesn't say vadai, who says yeah. Okay, so the Rav Meisha says, look, you know, where it's tough and people can't get together and whatever, over there you can use electronically recreated sounds, and therefore if you would hear the Mikra Megillah over a telephone, that's hearing Mikra Megillah. Obviously, that does not create the concept of a minyan, correct? I just want to clarify, because people have been asking. That does not create the concept of a minyan. It just says that I heard the Megillah. So the concept of a minyan requires 10 people being in the same place. The issue is, what defines the same place? So remember that there's many shitas, and the Mishnah Berurah brings this, the Ma'aril, that even if you're in different rooms, which are not considered to be mechuber, for whatever reason, that's a very complicated sugya, you have chibur of different rooms, such as in Menachem Tzion, where it's really outrageous that they're mitzarif to people in the outside room with the inside room, because people don't even see each other, and there's no other heter. But in any event, where you can see each other, then even if you're in different rooms, then it's considered to be that you're in the same place. So by extension, if we're going to allow the reconstruction of being next to each other electronically, so then we would be able to view it as a minyan. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody in their right mind, unless you're conservative, would be matir saying brochas that are only said barabim, right? So let's say, would we make a bracha on the Birchas Erisin? Would that be called a minyan? No. Over there, it's already a chashash of a bracha of Atala, because, I mean, they were only misaking certain brachas in minyanim. So we would not. But Kaddish is not a bracha. There's no issue of anything being said levatala. There's no real iser to say Kaddish other than the fact that it is something that is a davar shebikdusha, it's considered to be. And because of that, you need a minyan. Now, suppose you didn't have a minyan. Suppose people walked out of davening. And now you're stuck. You want to say Kaddish after the davening. And that would be the normally part of the davening. Are you allowed to say the Kaddish? There's no minyan. It's a Dover Shebekedusha. Yes, you are allowed to say it. Why? Because once you were mischayev in it in terms of a minyan, you don't really, it isn't that it's that much of a thing. Could you say a bracha that requires a minyan? Of course not. If you started off even with a seuda that you had 10 people, if you don't have 10 people at the time of the bracha, you certainly don't even say nevorech le'elokeinu, correct? Fine. But when it comes to this issue of saying a Kaddish after the tefillah, we're not mechayev you, or even baruchu. We're not mechayev you to have the minyan, despite the fact that it's a davar shebikedusha. Because of that, we're being mekel here specifically for Kaddish, not for Brochas, and specifically for things like saying Amen and so on and so forth, to consider the reproduction the equivalent of seeing each other in a different room and being able to actually say a Kaddish. But to turn that into a standard in which every day somebody wants to say Kaddish, sort of taking it back yesterday, okay, I didn't, you know, originally we had a couple of Yahrzeitim that this started with. I think for a Yahrzeit, it's Kedai. A Yahrzeit is a very kind of special emotional thing for the Aliyas HaNeshama. Okay, for that, we should do it. I don't want it to become an everyday affair, and then people start thinking that, yeah, this is L'chatchila, the way to create a minion, and so on and so forth. We'll confuse it even with brachas. That is something else. So I hope that that clarifies things a bit, and it makes it clear who we're being Samech on, which shittas we're being Samech on, not people running around quoting that, you know, you're allowed to have a minion on a virtual thing and be Yotze all your chiyuvim and so on. Let's not jump to conclusions. All right. So again, this, as Reb Moshe originally paskin, as the Chazon Ish originally paskin, we're talking about tough situations where people cannot get together for a minyan, which was their heter, or Reb Moshe was talking about in a hospital, which is very similar to what you have today. And this is the only way to do it.